When Macca talks, Cairns listens. John McKenzie, the local you know. For Pacific Toyota, better service, better range, better by far North Queensland. On 846 4CA.
Now, this is probably good news for most people, I think, up there in the northern beaches. I know some of the little beach communities like their privacy and like the fact that they're not hooked up directly with the next community, but I think the majority, when they look at the photo there on page 4 of the Cairns Post today, would say, listen, our foreshores are among the best in the world. It's just so pretty. So why wouldn't you have walkways and bikeways through there? Here it's Peter Carruthers writes here in the Cairns Post, the next stage of a long-term plan to connect Cairns City to Palm Cove via an unbroken 30-kilometre shared pedestrian and cycle path is expected to get underway later this month. The new section of the Northern Beaches Leisure Trail will connect Clifton with Kawarra via a 3-metre-wide path. Now, in Clifton Beach, the path will begin from the end of Arlington Esplanade and extend through to the Pelican Park Esplanade Reserve in Kawarra Beach. The path will include a bridge across Deep Creek and the installation of lighting, CCTV, fencing and landscaping. Isn't that CCTV so important these days with this explosion in appalling people coming into our city? It goes on to give some more details. I'll cut to the chase because Division 9 Councillor Brett Olds said there was strong support for a suburb connecting link, which would promote active living and increase safety. Is he somewhere? Yes, he is. Brett Olds, the Division 9 Councillor. G'day, Brett.
G'day, mate. It's been a journey, hasn't it?
Well, I was going to say, you've been banging the drum on this front for quite an extended period of time. I've got to say, it's interesting, too. They're talking 3 metre here, whereas the one up the your end, I think, is what, about 2 metres or a metre and a half or something, is it?
Yeah, well, the whole Northern Beach Leisure Trail is 3 metres long, except for the very first section they did in Palm Cove.
Yeah.
Because in 2015,
yep,
well, the year before I was in, they started, and because of the pushback, the council went, oop, let's just do 2 metres instead of three.
Oh, two,
and it's
okay.
it's been their biggest regret ever since, because even though people usually attack it before it goes in, every section of the Northern Beaches Leisure Trail that we've done to date, after it's gone in, has been so well loved and it's caused so much activation that 3 metres is perfect. But yeah, Palm Cove only got the 2 metres, unfortunately.
Mm. Did you see the photo on the Cairns Post?
I did. That's my mate Joe Bell.
Yeah, oh, is
it? And his daughter. Yeah, they're going for a ride. So that's what you do down here. Get out and enjoy this section is the most important link in Division 9.
Yes.
Because you could always ride from Kawarra Beach to Trinity Beach.
Yeah.
You could always ride from Clifton Beach to Palm Cove.
Mm.
You couldn't get, because of Deep Creek, you couldn't get across there. So for 7 years, I've been pushing for this. I said, start here. This is the first one. But there's been legal battles, you know, the resort was kind of against it for a while there, and then the council kind of buckled, not me or a couple others, but a couple buckled and said, let's go around behind through the Ken Frost development, through a Melaleuca forest and a swamp, and that ended up was going to cost three times as much, I think, two or three times as much, and in the end, common sense prevailed, and we got a unanimous decision that we'd compulsory acquire if we had to. The second we made that decision, the Kawarra Beach Resort worked with us, and they're really happy with how things are going there. But we had money for this project 3 years ago, and because of some of the legal battles and even the environmental stuff you have to get approvals for, we pulled the money and gave it to the Bar Creek Bridge to make that one happen.
Oh, yes.
So that flew in and came in front of ours. But I'm telling you, John, I've lost hair and I've got white hair in my beard, and it's made me so much older, because this should have been the very first thing done on the Northern Beaches Leisure Trail, in my opinion. I'm so glad it's finally happening. But even the finish date is March 2024, they reckon, next year. It's already started. They've started construction. They started about 3 weeks ago. But they're telling me, because of the barramundi breeding season, we have to be out of the estuaries by November. And then after the breeding season finishes, which is like late February or March, then you've got the mangrove blooming season with the flowers. So we can't get back in there till after April. And I'm like, it's good that they care about the environment. I mean, you have to have these things, but sometimes it's a little bit onerous and it makes it really hard for the guys doing the construction. So they're going like bats out of hell to get the bridge part done before November. And then they'll come back and do the 3 metre paths on either side. So it might be March before it's totally completed. And depending on the wet season, it might be even later than that. So I'm just glad it's underway. But I can't give you an exact ETA of when it'll be completed because of those the problematic nature of working in estuaries. And that's what puts the price up to $6.4 million. Some people are like, that's way too expensive for a little bridge. But this will allow kids to ride to school got is to stay away from the Poolwood Road at Corribitch and stay away from Trinity Beach Road. Yeah. They'll be able to ride safely along the Esplanade. They're one of the most beautiful and iconic paths you've ever seen anywhere in the world. And they can just brag to their kids later on in life and say, mate, I was one of the first ones to ride that.
Mm. Now, will that be the final piece of the leisure trail?
No. We've done all the easy. Well, I guess none of it's been easy. We've done the easier pieces. So we did every single foreshore first, and then we started linking the suburbs. So the Bar Creek Bridge, now the Deep Creek Bridge. Now we've got to work out a way to get from Dunn Road up at Yorkeys Knob. You know where the transfer station is, Katana Wetland.
Yeah.
So where that hits Yorkeys Knob Road, we're going to have to come through and go down to Holloway's Beach. There'll probably be two bridges in that. So we've got to start planning that out. But that won't be the very next section. The next section we're asking the state for money for when they come up here for Parliament in a week or two is we're asking them if they'll fund the feasibility study and looking into how to get from Machin's Beach up along the Barron River to the highway and cross on the highway. So we've still got to do that to get the Cairns. So those are the two big ones. And these are the most expensive parts. And because of the environmental impacts, they're expensive and they're really time intensive. So it's it is going to happen. It's just taken a sweet time. These plans, I think, have been in place since the 90s. The council way back then said this would be a fantastic plan, but it was the Manning Council, of the first one from 2015 to 2016. Mm. They jumped on it and they actually started doing it in 2015. So I take my hat off to them for pushing through, but we need to make sure we keep pushing harder, especially whatever the next council looks like. We need to complete this because it's going to be so iconic. Drive from Cairns to Palm Cove without touching a highway. And that's the future. Everyone's mountain biking, everyone's riding. People are into active travel. And that's why the federal government and the state government have been so good with so many different sections of this. It's been easy for them to say yes and put money into it. Mm. It's been really, it's been a good collaboration. I wish we did it more with them, to be honest, with other projects, because sometimes it's like getting blood out of a stone. Mm. But on these projects, it's actually been pretty good.
Yes. Now, going back a few days in the Cairns Post, this was the headline, doubling back to future, former owner in bid to return Ireland to its past glory, namely Double Island. It says in a remarkable twist, former Double Island owner and millionaire property magnate John Pallister is itching to offer Bennywoo cash for the ailing tropical resort off the coast of Palm Cove. However, before the deal can be broken, a significant stumbling block in the form of Mr. Woo being uncontactable needs to be overcome. Goes on to say the Core Asset Development Group senior advisor said he's exhausted all leads in attempts to contact the Hong Kong-based businessman. Where are we up to with this mystery of Double Island?
Every time I go up to Palm Cove or a lot of places around Northern Beaches, people are pulling me up saying, what's the story? What's the story? I have no idea. The state has been so secretive on this one. I was really, like I said, I was heartened when Michael Healy, the Assistant Tourism Minister, and Craig Crawford, who's the local member up here, they came out in the paper 4 weeks ago and pretty much chastised him and said, look, he's had his chance. Let's take it off him. And now they've gone total, complete radio silence. And I'm like, wait a second, guys. I was getting behind you. I had the pom-poms out. I was cheering you on. And no one's, they're not saying anything to state government now. And this is what frustrates me is just the silence, and there's no transparency, there's no communication. The people out here, the residents who they purport to represent, they want answers. What's going on? Why is this guy uncontactable? Mm. What have you told him? Are you going to pull the lease off him? Because this is a huge thing. If we get Double Island working, it's going to help the whole Northern Beaches, not just Palm Cove. It's going to help out here so much. And I don't know. I wish I had the answers for you, but I heard the other day there was an interview and someone asked Craig Crawford, he said, no comment. It's like a corporation. Mm. They've been told by the bureaucrats in Brisbane or something, pull your heads in, don't say anything. So they came out strong and I was really excited. And because I'll get behind anyone if they're doing the right thing and standing up for the people. But when they just go all of a sudden, put the brakes on and shut up, that's not what you're elected to do. You're elected to communicate and let us know what's going on. Even if it's bad news, let us know. Telling us nothing is not the way to go because your mind goes to the worst place. I'm really worried, like I said months ago, that they're going to kick the can down the road and say, oh, poor Benny, he's trying. We're going to give him a bit more time. And he's had so many chances. 11 years, I think, he's owned that island, and he's in breach of every single condition. Rip it off him. The guy in the paper, I forget his name, Mr. Palisade, I think you said it was.
Yeah.
He explained better in the paper what the story is. Benny could lose everything and not get any money, but if he picks up the phone, maybe he can get some money by selling it. So he needs to make a smart financial decision, but the pressure needs to be put on Mr. Wu by the state government. If they've gone to radio silence, that makes me really nervous, like they're about to make another poor decision.
Yep.
So they've got form in this area.
I just want to run this by you. Because we only go back, two or three weeks, and we were embroiled in this cashless council debate, which underlined very early in the piece. And I've got to say, I believe it was a win for the people. So do you, so Kathy Zeiger, etc. Listen to this. It's under the heading Cash Converted in the Courier Mail today. We love a good parliamentary petition, it says, and while they're usually lucky to crack a few hundred signatures, one that attracted more than 10,000 caught our eye this week. One Nation member Stephen Andrews called for the state government to introduce law changes after a number of services banned cash at places like rubbish tips, saying the policy is discriminatory and that it denies people the right to choose how they wish to pay for goods and services. Does this ring a bell? It goes on to say cash is legal tender. It's also safe, private, reliable, bank charge free, and a handy backup for when other systems fail, this bloke said, this parliamentarian said. Goes on to say, banning its use is discriminatory and will adversely impact the many groups and individuals within society who still prefer to use it. Anyway, it goes on to say this, a number of major venues, including Suncorp Stadium, have gone cashless. But it's a recent push by a number of councils which has really riled up the issue, and it appears thousands agree with this gentleman called Stephen Andrew. Isn't it funny how sometimes governments could just fall out of touch with the people who put them there?
They do, mate. They live in an echo chamber, a lot of these elected people, at all levels of government, and you've got to get out there and keep your finger on the pulse, because cash is still an important part of our economy, even if people do prefer card, and that's fine. Having the choice is one thing,
yes,
but it is still an important part. And I actually signed that petition as well. I don't sign many petitions, but I signed that one because it's a huge deal. And I think what we did in Cairns a couple of weeks ago to get that unanimous decision to overturn it and bring cash back was such a big win. So many other councils, Rockhampton was watching us, a couple other councils down in southeast Queensland were watching what our decision did. It made national headlines as well, our decision to go back to cash, which is fantastic. So we're giving other people hope, and they're realising that if they stand up and stand together, that's where the power is. The power is with the people. You saw what happened in Malanda yesterday or 2 days ago with the caravan park.
Yes.
I mean, the people came together, and when they do, the elected people, if they want to get elected again, they have to listen. So I know you can't get together on every single topic, but important ones, like I believe this one is, it's united people. And I hope that gives people a bit of faith that, you know what, they still do have a voice, they still do have some power. Just get together, stand together, because it's a beautiful thing. And politicians will fold quicker than Superman on laundry day. They will just they'll go to water, you know. And we saw it happen in Cairns, and you'll see it happen in Queensland. Guys, stand up. If it's something you believe in, get together with a group, sign your petitions, make phone calls, send emails. It does count. It does help. I'm really happy. I mean, I'm getting sore arms from winning. I'm so used to losing most of my battles over the last 7 years. I couldn't believe we won a couple of big ones the same week. I was like, oh, sweet.
Exactly. Yeah. You might want to settle up for this one, because I talked to Terry some weeks ago about this appalling behaviour in town. The attacks, confrontations, foul language, racial slurs at tourists, etc. And I said to Terry, you've got these cameras, and we've had a call from a listener saying, well, in Queen Street Mall and places in Brisbane, those cameras are fitted with speakers, and as soon as they see misbehaviour or whatever, the message goes down the line warning offenders that they're on candid camera or whatever, they're in breach of local law or whatever, antisocial behaviour, illegal activities, and in so many cases that's the end of the bad behaviour. And Terry said, oh, what a good idea. Came back a week later and said, guess what, all we have to do is switch it on. We've got the facility already with our cameras. Now, a week later, Brett Moller said the same thing. Oh, yes, it's apparently quite simple. Just to switch it on and we've got access to speaking to these dreadful people behaving so badly in our CBD. Then Terry came back and said, oh, there's a hitch. We can't just do it yet. We're looking into matters. Then Brett came back and said, oh, I'm investigating matters. And I said, I hope this isn't privacy you're concerned about. Some of these people are just the worst behaved people on the planet. Surely you're not concerned about their privacy rights. So I didn't get a response, but now with another request through to Brisbane City Council, Brisbane City Media, the response back again. The Brisbane City Safe's application system is used to warn offenders in relation to local law breaches, antisocial behaviour and illegal activities, and works very effectively. So why, if we've got the same system, can't we turn it on? Have you got any ideas, Brett? We're desperate for help in our CBD. It's a disaster area.
I think this is a case of the bureaucrats leading the cause and the elected people not doing enough. We need to have more backbone as a council and stand up, because it can be done. I'll put it on the record. I've had a conversation with the officer that's in charge, Brett Spencer. He's awesome. Anytime there's a problem, we call him the wolf, like in Pulp Fiction. If there's a problem, you throw it his way and he'll fix it. He's told me it can be done. So I know this can be done. I don't know who's stopping it or why. This will go as high as the CEO, I imagine. Us elected people need to come together and say, this isn't good enough. I mean, I don't know if the other councils are walking around town or talking to people. It's disgusting behaviour we're seeing. We saw in the paper last night I was reading the online paper with, was it Splash, the fish shop, which said, come down here and buy a lovely coral trout and a bottle of wine and watch these itinerants washing their ass in the fountain across from you.
Exactly.
And when they're coming along, they're trying to steal your plates and cutlery. Mm. And if you say something, they threaten you with a knife. I mean, this is not what any town needs, but especially not our town. And what's funny is, I have great respect for a lot of my colleagues, and Councillor James and Brett Moller have been in the paper this week, looking at potential mayoral candidates. And I'm like, well, Cairns needs someone with a backbone to stand up. This is the biggest issue. Every survey we do, the people come back and say public safety, community safety is their biggest drama. Mm. Mate, the state's obviously not listening. It's their remit. It does fall. Crime falls under the state's remit. But as a council, we can't sit back silently and go, oh, it's their fault, they're not doing anything. Mm. If they're not going to do it, we've got to jump up and grab the bull by the horns, and we've got to do something. Even if it's just as simple as screaming from the mountaintops, getting on a roof, getting the cameras on you, Channel 7, Channel 9, Win, getting 4CA, getting everyone to come interview. These mayoral candidates need to come out and tell us what their plan is to fix this.
Yes.
Because this is a huge problem, and these people, I don't give a hoot about their rights. Yeah. I care about the victims' rights. No one ever talks about the people who get their cars stolen, their motorbikes burned down, or the lady in Brisbane got stabbed and killed. I mean, these people are breaking into your home. They have no right to be in your home. And the victim shaming that comes out of the police's mouth sometimes, saying, well, you've got to lock your, you don't leave your keys out in your house, you've got to lock your keys away. That person should not be in my house in the first place. Don't blame me for my car getting stolen because my keys are sitting on my cabinet inside my locked house.
Yes.
So we need a champion of the people to come out and give the state a black eye. They're coming up here in a week and a half. They are failing here. There's a protest, I think it's on the 13th. I forget what day the protest's happening, about youth crime.
Yes.
But all crime in general, the state is failing. And we as a council need to come up and say, this isn't good enough, this is our backyard.
Exactly.
Legally, we're hamstrung legally with some legislation, but who gives a hoot? I keep saying hoot instead of the other word I want to say. But we need to get out there. We can. If we get out there and make some noise, the cameras will follow us, the people will get behind us, because all people really want is a leader. Mm. Stand up. They'll get behind you, and you know what? The state will buckle. They'll fold faster than Superman on fire on Laundry Day as well.
Mm.
This is how we win. The people have the power. The people will get behind anyone that stands up and says, this is what we're doing.
Mm.
So that's my advice, and I've told Terry this as well. We need to have a backbone. We need to stand up and do this. I'll go out there if you want me to, and let's look at the state government's coming up here, the Premier, the Deputy Premier, all the ministers. Let's go out there. I'll stand up there and throw rocks at them, mate.
Yeah.
So, hey, look over here, not throwing rocks to hurt them, to get their attention, saying, hey, you're failing here. You are failing big time, and if you're not going to step up and do something, then here's what we're going to do and come up with some solutions, I guess. I'm kind of getting carried away. I don't want to. I'm trying not to swear as well.
Mm. Mate, this has been very powerful indeed. Really appreciate this. Thank you.
You have a good weekend.
That's Division 9's Councillor Brett Olds, Cairns Council.